A friend of the FDH New York Bureau here. He was able to hook up this one for us and really looking forward to it. This gentleman is a very versatile journalist, as we've said, print and broadcast background here, multi-channel news, cable vision magazine, tech TV. And his project right now is really just exploring the cutting edge with every broadcast that he does here. Tomorrow will be televised. You can access this program on the internet here, much like the one that we're on now. So we bring on our fellow web broadcaster, Simon Applebaum, with us now from the New York area here. Simon, it's a pleasure to have you on the FDH Lounge, sir. How are you tonight?
Very, very well, Rick. Great to be with you.
Oh, it's great to be on with you, Simon. And let's just start. Let's take a look here at the outset. Tell people, again, I know that there's probably no typical show that you do because you cover a lot of different ground with this, but let's just start by putting it out there from the folks here in terms of some of the things that people can expect when they go to tune in. Tomorrow will be televised.
Well, the program has been on for nearly 2 years, Rick. We started on NowLive.com back in August of 07. We are now on Blog Talk Radio, which is a website that reaches about 3 million listeners a month. It's a fantastic site, wide variety of radio programs. The idea of the show is to give you and your listeners and the public at large the opportunity to hear from people who make television happen, the people who create and produce television shows, the people who run television networks, entrepreneurs like your company. They're doing new ventures in television, whether it's a new TV network, a new video on demand, or interactive television service, TV critics, and so forth. For example, on our show on Monday, we had Deborah Spira, who's the executive producer of Army Wives, the Lifetime critically acclaimed drama that just launched its third season on Sunday night, did very well in the ratings, and in fact has already been guaranteed a fourth season by Lifetime. We also had Jennifer Armstrong, the senior TV writer for Entertainment Weekly, talk about the best bets that we can look forward to in television this summer and fall. We also got her off-the-cuff thoughts about the current TV correspondence situation with Yuna Lee and Laura Ling, who were sentenced to 12 years in a labor prison camp overnight on Monday, and is certainly one of the big TV stories of the week. And we also had, as well, Mike Harris. He's the chief executive of a company called AnySource Media, which is working with TV set makers to try to get the internet or internet functionality on your television set. So we try to bring people every week a wide panorama of what's going on in television currently and what they can look forward to in their future.
One of the last points there that the one gentleman covered here with the coming convergence towards broadcast media and the internet and everything here, I think for most people, and particularly for listeners of this show and this network, who, again, are probably a little bit ahead of the curve, you know, as opposed to those who listen to terrestrial radio and everything like that, as far as the understanding of this, we know that it's coming at some point. We know that this convergence is happening. What are you observing from doing your show, talking to guests like that, about when this merger between television and the internet is going to become even more intense?
I think we're beginning to see the movement happen, and we're seeing it from different fronts. The TV set makers like Samsung and Panasonic are already at work to either come out with, either this summer or later this year or next year for sure, television sets that would allow a Facebook or a Twitter to be used by somebody on the TV screen using their remote control. There are people like Yahoo and Intel that have come up with a project called the Widget Channel, which we had on our show last fall, which Samsung is now including in their television sets, where, again, you could see internet content and web videos on your set. The cable industry, through various set-top box manufacturers, are trying to put two-way interactive and internet capability on the screen. People like Cisco Systems are saying it's going to be happening over the next 12 to 18 months, as well as Adobe, which is putting their Flash Player into set-top boxes, as well as television sets. So there's a lot of different ways on different levels that people are rushing to get the internet on the TV screen. Will the public accept it? We have to see. It's got to be consumer-friendly. It's got to be something you can work with your remote control as opposed to using a keyboard. But I got a feeling the public's ready. Because of the internet, because they've been weaned on Amazon and eBay and so forth to do things on the PC that they would not normally do, I think it's a question of adapting to the television set in such a way that they enjoy it and really get a lot out of it.
You know, that's a very interesting side you just mentioned, Simon, because I have to say that's the side that the public doesn't understand as much, what's happening on the TV front. The thing that I think we most of us understand a little bit better is the other side of the equation. And I'm just going to hold them up as one example, but when you look at something like Hulu, you see the convergence happening on the internet end in a way that's probably more apparent to people.
Yes, and Rick, something else is happening too. There's even talk that Hulu might show up on the television screen. There's certainly an effort now by different web video producers as a way to gain more money and perhaps some ad revenue from their work to put their stuff on video on demand. Last fall, we had Gemini Division, the Rosario Dawson show from NBC Universal, went on Comcast, went on Time Warner Cable Systems. If you watch the WB.com, Comcast cable subscribers can watch that programming on their TV set along with their personal computer. And we had, in fact, an interesting event here in New York called the On Fronts, where web video producers are trying to work with the advertising community to get backing for some very exciting projects, dramas, comedies, all sorts of stuff on the web, both the short clips and also the expanded work. There's no question that I think video on demand is going to become a major source of distribution for web videos, and at some point I think Google will have to put YouTube on the television set as a video-on-demand service. It certainly cries out for it. The videos are getting better. They can even do classic TV clips. So I think there's no question that whether you get the internet functionality in the set, I think web videos will go on the set in video-on-demand. And in fact, that also goes for user-generated content. In fact, on our show next week, we're going to go to Sacramento, California, and we're going to highlight what may be the first user-generated linear channel. It's called i2TV. It's from a cable overbuilder called Sure West Communications. They are the overbuilder for that area, and we will talk to the product manager who's putting that site that channel together. It's been up and running for several months, about how it's doing and whether it may have wings around the country.
Wow. I mean, that's a very cutting-edge project right there that you guys are going to be covering, no doubt about that. I've been seeing some things in recent days as well, Simon. And again, you know, with your show, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys had tackled this a little bit already. The notion now of what's going to be happening with phones, particularly with some of the smartphones that are out there, the channels that may be available with this digital TV switch over here. I know that's been something, whether it be user-generated channels potentially showing up on there. There were phone companies a couple of years ago. Nothing's really happened yet, but there were talks that, I don't remember if it was Verizon or who it was, somebody wanted to have like 100 channels of distinct content, not even like ESPN stuff or whatever, but their own things in-house. So some of these things are still obviously on the drawing boards, but that's obviously another front in this whole convergence, isn't it, Simon?
Absolutely. For example, Time Warner Cable here in New York, Cablevision Systems has been doing very well with caller ID on the television set, where the phone calls you get a strip across the top of the bottom of the screen saying who's calling you and a quick little debrief of what it's all about. You're going to definitely see that grow around the country. And a lot of people believe that the iPhone is going to be the forerunner of what could happen in this interactive internet TV world, where your set-top box is not only going to be the output for your television programming, it's going to be the input for a lot of interactive internet programming from all sorts of sources. Fios, for example, the Verizon overbuild service, is working now on an open set-top box platform that would allow a Facebook, a Twitter, a eBay, an Amazon, a startup company, a third-party source to use that box and go right to the viewer if they want it. And I think we're going to see this new convergence environment happen where iPhone applications will become television applications. We're going to get into this world where if you have a piece of content, if you have a service, if you have an application, it will go on the TV set, it will go on the personal computer, and it will go on the mobile phone or the smartphone. It will look different on each screen, but you'll be able to get basically the same content or the same service through.
Interesting. Now, but before I ask any questions that aren't as much centered around the convergence issue, Simon, and I understand that these are all working, some of these on parallel tracks. There may not be one answer for all of these, but in terms of when we as media consumers may notice some of these things coming to pass in our lives, is there any guess on when some of that might start to manifest itself, whether it be 6 months, 2 years, 5 years? Is there any kind of rough idea in your head as you're talking to all of these people out there that are putting this together when these things are going to start to roll out in our lives?
Yeah, the best bet I'm getting in terms of internet and interactive television, for example, is within the next year to 18 months, maybe as early as this summer. We know that Samsung has got their LED set, which already has the internet capability, largely through the widget channel from Yahoo and Intel. There's other tracks to watch, too. 3D television. Here in New York, we had an event from the Consumer Electronics Association where a forecaster suggested that by 2012, 10% of the United States TV households could have a 3D set in their home functioning with 3D programming by 2012. Just about 3.5 years from now. Video on demand is booming. There was something in the neighborhood of like 5 to 7 billion views among all the cable operators and satellite companies last year. That is ballooning. You're certainly going to see more content there. We're going to see more television networks. And something else also to keep in mind, too, is diversity. We are living in a nation which has now, out of 300 plus million people, 35% of the country, over 100 million people are people of color. And by 2040, maybe earlier, depending on immigration and a number of other factors, birth rates, people of color will be the majority population. And so there will certainly be a lot more development of web content and television programming aimed or owned by them. And if there isn't, there will be heck to pay. I said recently on my show that I felt that any television network, any cable network, and I'll also mention any website that does not showcase diversity in front of and behind the camera or in front of and behind the website is playing with fire, because you cannot ignore this population. If they find that a television network, whether a CBS or an ESPN, whatever, is not showcasing diversity, there will be an effort to try to get something going on their own.
Yeah, that's been a big hot button over time. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Simon. You know, and we've talked about some things thus far with you that are, I think, going to be great improvements in our lives when these things are coming, all these things, these developments that are percolating, and everything that we seemingly have been building towards as far as the convergence of these different technologies. Now I've got to go in this climate to what is the elephant in the room, that being that when you look at, over the course of the last year, the economy, just how brutal that it's been, whether you want to talk about the advertising business, which is just continuing to fuel the downward spiral of newspapers, or whatever the case may be, it's manifesting itself in so many different ways. The problems that the car dealerships are having, because they've been a big fuel of local advertising over time here. In terms of all of that, what are some of the deleterious results that you are seeing of just the way that everything's gone to hell in handbasket for last year?
Well, the big one for me, Rick, is local television stations. They are getting hammered. I don't think even they expected a year ago that this recession and how it's impacted the auto arena, how it's impacted financials, the travel industry, is taking the kind of hit that is giving to local TV stations. They are losing money like crazy. They are seeing tremendous drops in ad revenue, and as a result, we're seeing local TV stations around the country cancel weekend newscasts, both morning and evening. In one case, WYRU, the CBS affiliate in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, they canceled all their news programming. They've replaced it with entertainment shows, whether Judge Judy or Entertainment Tonight, Judge Joe Brown. They expect to save about $900,000 a year. I reported on our show. I thought it was a despicable move by that affiliate. They made a big deal about it. They sort of misled the public by saying, well, the public voted for no news programming, they wanted entertainment, and that was, it was what was basically a cost-cutting move. And if I'm CBS, I might want to look next year for another Wilkes-Barre affiliate, because that station may be headed for extinction. But they may not be the only one. There is a lot of talk that if this recession continues, or the advertising community doesn't give a signal to local TV stations that more revenue is coming their way, we may see more draconian situations. We may see more things like what WYOU did. And if that's the case, it would cut the big umbilical cord, what separates broadcast television from local cable television. It's always been, we have local news programming, we have local programming, they don't. At least that's the perception. And if you cancel local programming and news is your big bread and butter, you got a problem. And I think a lot of local TV stations, big and small, are finding it. That's why you're seeing the cuts in weekend newscasts. That's why some local news talent and sports talent, like Len Berman, the sportscaster from WNBC here in New York, was cut. Even local sports talk shows have been, or local sports wrap-up shows on weekend nights have been cut by different stations. Unless this ad environment improves, this may be the beginning of a really terrible time for local TV stations. We may see some going off the air for good.
Well, Simon, what I don't understand in all of this here is these stations have to deal with the FCC, license renewals, and the like. How do you justify hanging on to your license? Because you always have to show certain things. Well, we're serving the community by doing thus and such. If you're wiping out all of this kind of content, how do you go back before the FCC and say, hey, just, you know, stamp the renewal on our license like you've been doing?
I don't know. A lot may depend on how the Obama FCC, you know, because we're going to have a new FCC administration with Julie Jenikowski, the incoming FCC chairman, once he's confirmed in a matter of months, and how they play it. We've never seen something like this before. And I think we're going to get the test case if a major television station television market says we're carrying all local news programming. If a WNBC or WCBS or WNYW were to say, you know, no more local news in the morning, no more local news at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night, or in the Midwest, you know, 5 and 10 p.m., that's when we get the test case. You know, we haven't heard the crowd aroused yet. We haven't heard big, you know, consumer protests yet. But if a local station were to make the kind of move that WYOU did a few weeks ago in Wilkes-Barre, then we're going to get the test case.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing that sprung to my mind is, and I'm not an expert on these matters or anything, but just as an armchair observer, that kind of popped into my head because I've heard stations get hassled, you know, at renewal time, maybe not hassled big time like they're going to lose their license, but I've heard them have to deal with matters on things much less than that. But if you're that, I mean, that's almost an in-your-face type deal to the FCC, kind of like, what are you going to do about it? And I wouldn't think that with an Obama administration, I wouldn't think that they're going to look very very fondly upon that. There's not going to be as much of a laissez-faire atmosphere in terms of business matters with station and, you know, stations and serving the community and the like. That it seems to me especially an odd time to be pulling this in this political climate.
Yeah, and it's also in light of, hey, you know, we delayed the digital transition so you can get all your public on digital. We're giving you extra spectrum with digital so you can put on new networks and new channels and try maybe some interactive services on the local level. So it appears that it would not work well if we get one of these test cases. But and again, it all depends on whether we come out of this recession quickly and how fast the ad marketplace, the local ad marketplace, bounces back. And nobody's making any projections about that.
In terms of how it's going, some of what I've been hearing is that research and development, innovation, some of these type of things have tended to keep moving along strongly even in this economic climate, as opposed to existing businesses which are up full throttle, like local TV stations, local newspapers, both of whom are taking tremendous hits. Is that what you're seeing? I mean, in light of everything we've been talking about tonight with the innovations to come, are these things continuing, these developments continuing, do they seem to be less affected by the economy than businesses that are already at full throttle?
I don't think so. I think with the local TV markets, because this ad situation is hitting them in the face and all over the body because of the fact it's not just one ad sector. It's a bunch of them at the same time. It's real estate. It's housing. It's General Motors and Chrysler. And when we're talking the auto industry, we're not just talking the car makers. We're talking the local auto dealers. We're talking, you know, the motor oil people like the Valvolines and the Pennzoils and so forth. We're talking the auto parts people and the stores like Pep Boys, which has been one of the few advertisers, at least on the national level, to keep going. But the Interstate Batteries, the Advanced Auto Parts, and so on. So when you lose all that revenue in several sectors at once, it's really... If the general manager of these stations, I'm sure, are going crazy. And that's and by the way, that is the reason why the big wild card for NBC is Jay Leno and his new five-night-a-week show. If this show doesn't get the ratings off the bat, if NBC's ratings at 10 o'clock go lower, the NBC station managers are going to be really up to their, you know, turning their heads gray, because if they lose ratings at this point in time, very quickly with Leno, I think they will put a lot of pressure on NBC to do something different.
Okay, let's explore that, Simon, because I wrote a column recently for our FDHLounge.com site talking about this very scenario, just kind of like a what-if. If 10 o'clock turns out to be soft, if 11:30 turns out to be soft, and we don't know yet, it's too early to draw conclusions on that, but if both of these things happen, what are the odds that they try and broker a return to the status quo, at least at 11:30? I don't think you can put Conan back at 12:30. That's probably done. But at least putting Leno back on The Tonight Show, if we're sitting here in about a year or so and they feel like they're bleeding in both areas, do you think that could happen?
It might, but I don't think so. Conan's off to a good start with 11:30, and I think they'll give him the room. They'll definitely give him the year or so to make it. The question is, will they give Jay Leno the year or so to make it at 10 o'clock? And it's sort of a intriguing if-you-make-it-if-you-don't scenario, not only for NBC, but for broadcast network television overall. If Leno makes it, there is talk that the other broadcast networks would follow with their own five-night-a-week strip programming. There's already rumors that Nightline may move from 11:30 to 10 o'clock with either an hour or a half-hour news magazine program. Mm-hmm. There was talk that maybe other shows, they maybe try a game show 5 nights a week, which would mean that the Hollywood studios, the Warner Brothers, the Lionsgate, the 20th Century Fox would move their original programming to cable. So it would be a big boon for cable. It would mean more dramas, more sitcoms going to the likes of TNT, TBS, Lifetime, A&E, et cetera, et cetera. If it doesn't work, then we go back to that scenario of what will the local stations do, how much of a stink will they make, how much time will they give NBC before NBC gets desperate.
Well, you know, NBC already had to beat back a rebellion on this in Boston, didn't they?
They did, and they had to do a lot of maneuvering. It was a one-shot kind of thing. The head of Sunbeam Television, which runs WHDH, is somebody who has had his beefs with NBC before when he was at another city. He came out of the closet basically saying, I don't want this. You know, I want a 10 o'clock newscast, which will do better. And NBC basically said to the manager, you go ahead and keep talking this way. You won't be an NBC affiliate anymore. And then how will you like it?
Well, I mean,
they put the pressure.
That's at least something of a hammer, even though the network's not doing well overall. They don't want to lose the affiliation. What I just wonder, too, and this is the angle that you don't hear get talked about that often, you're looking at a mini marathon every night now from September 14th on, because you have now from 10 o'clock through the end of Carson Daly, interrupted only by late local news of late night variety programming here. I mean, that's an awful lot, you know, when it just, you know, way back when it was just 11:30 and then 11:30 and 12:30, you're looking at a long solid block every night, and one wonders what the cascading results are down the line with some of the other shows involved, Fallon, Daily, etc.
Right, and don't forget there's two other shows coming up that are in the mix on cable. The George Lopez Talk Friday show, which will be premiering in November on TBS, Monday through Thursday night, and Monique's show on BET, which will be probably an 11 o'clock show. And I think those are two big wild cards. These are two personalities who I think can hold their own. They, again, we go back to diversity. I think they will really try to go after a multicultural audience, but I think they'll also try to bring in some of the general audience, too, that may be dissatisfied with Leno and may not want to stay up an extra half hour for Conan or Dave Letterman or for Nightline. And I think we have to watch this very carefully. I saw the pilot of the George Lopez show at Turner's Fall Season Preview a few weeks ago. It looked great. Street party kind of atmosphere. Samuel Jackson was the opening guest. Lopez was terrific. I think he could really carry that show. And Monique has the kind of personality that I think could also draw very, very well. So watch out for both of these programs. They could give both Leno and Conan and everyone else in the late night field fits.
Wow. I mean, I knew about Lopez. I hadn't even heard anything about the Monique show, but yeah, I can see where that's a big wild card in a bunch here. Well, we've covered a lot of different topics with you here tonight, Simon. I know that these are all the different strands that people will get at different times on your show, because you cover so many different things going on with big media, new media, of course, that tomorrow will be televised. Please go ahead and we always have our guests do this. Please plug anything that you would like to, and just let all of our listeners know everything they need to know about that, and if you like any other project you're working on.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we're on Mondays at 3 o'clock on the East Coast, noon on the West Coast on blogtalkradio.com. And our guest coming up this Monday, I mentioned the situation with Sure West and i2TV, the user-generated channel. Bob Tushman, the head of programming at Food Network, will be our lead guest. Food is on a good ratings roll. They have some wonderful shows like Chopped and Dinner Impossible and, of course, Iron Chef America. They're doing very well. Next Food Network star started their fifth season on Sunday night, got to a good start. So we'll talk to Bob about some of the new projects that Food Network is doing. And we'll also have someone that you've had on recently, Mark Berman, the programming insider columnist at MediaWeek Magazine. We had him on last year. He's one of the best analysts covering television. His insider column is must reading, I think, every morning in MediaWeek Magazine, in MediaWeek.com, and in MediaWeek Magazine every week. And we'll have him talking about the situation with Conan, the situation with Leno, and where things are at this fall. I will say this, by the way, about the fall season quickly. I think ABC's got two shows that I think will make a lot of noise. One is a sitcom called Modern Family. I think it's a winner. I think it very well be an Emmy nominee next year. It's got a very good cast. It has a very unique premise, the idea of showcasing a family from the standpoint of an independent, quirky filmmaker that you never see. I thought the pilot was marvelous. I think ABC should consider running it with limited commercial interruption. And then this Flash Forward, which is sort of their new Lost show, with a multicultural cast and some very good plotting, and it's got, I think, a very unique premise. So I think these would be two shows to watch for. But anyway, we're on, as I said, Mondays, 3 p.m. p.m. Eastern, noon on the West Coast on NowLive.com. If you want to catch us on replay, you can go to this homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. And we're also available on podcasts, which you can get downloaded to your iTunes, iPhone, iPod, and as of this week, Microsoft Zoom. And for that, you can go to a wonderful place called Sonobite.com. They're the folks that do our podcasts. And soon we hope they'll be selling ad time on the podcast and hope to make some revenue and make this labor of love be a labor of income as well.
Oh, that's tremendous. That's tremendous. And, yeah, we did have Mark Berman on a few weeks ago. He's awesome, and I'm not surprised how much you like having him on. Yeah, he's tremendous. Again, I hope that our listeners will go check out all this stuff, and I hope that you won't be a stranger on the show, Simon. It was great to have you on. We certainly love to do it again.
Love to do it. Thanks for the opportunity, Rick. All the very best.
Oh, thank you. Same to you, Simon. Simon Applebaum, everybody. Thanks so much.